but we start today with the war that was supposed to be over by Christmas. I think it's fair to say that the Boer War, as we still know it, is not well understood here in the UK. But look closer, and between 1899 and 1902, we can see political, military and ethical issues that crop up time and again in the modern world. Guerrilla tactics, concentration camps, mission creep, and even ethnic cleansing. Making History listener Peter Murphy from Stockport is investigating a personal connection with the war which highlights many of these themes. Peter, tell me what your grandfather did in the Boer War.
He was a private in the Liverpool King's Regiment.
What stories have come down in your family about what his experiences were?
He took part in a great many ordinary battles, but also the regiment took part in a campaign of genocide, or what he said was genocide, of the Cape Bushmen. And the reason he gave that why they were hunting the Bushmen was because they were raiding cattle. And they used to pull the guns and the army wagons.
So they were getting in the way of the British war effort?
Yes, yes.
And how did your grandfather see these events that he was involved in?
He was very distressed by them. In point of fact, he discussed it with the Roman Catholic chaplain, who told him that the Bushmen really couldn't be considered fully human. And as a result of that, he left the church. And all his life, really, he was very strongly against organised religion.
So it had a profound effect on him, in fact.
Yeah, it did, yes.
Peter Murphy. So whose side, if any, were these Bushmen on? Can the word genocide really be used to describe British involvement? To discuss these questions, I'm joined by two leading historians of the Boer War. In South Africa, Professor Franz Johann Pretorius, and in Norwich, Professor Dennis Judd. Franz Johann, we think of the Boer War as a conflict between the British and the Boers, white settlers of Dutch and British origin. So who were the Bushmen, and how did they get caught up in the war?
Well, the Bushmen, or San, were the original inhabitants of southern Africa, and they've been here for 30,000 years, whereas the African communities and the white people came later. So they were an original group different to the African communities as such.
And they were just going about their normal business and then found that the retaliation was much more severe in a context of a war that was going on around them, is that right?
That's right. This was trying to exterminate these irritating little people who were shooting with their bow and poisonous arrows.
So, Dennis, what was the British attitude to them? Is the word genocide appropriate?
Well, I'm not sure about genocide. I think the British attitude during this war was, for God's sake, let's finish it off as soon as we can. And that's why they launched into various, I think, reprehensible things like the concentration camps, the scorched earth policy, and people, quite apart from the Afrikaners, people who were South African blacks or Bushmen or whatever, who were in the way, often got swept aside and treated very badly. I mean, for example, not very many people know that probably more blacks died in concentration camps in South Africa due to British incompetence, I think, more than genocide, than whites. And it's a South African war, not a Boer war. The British called it the Boer war, so they could sort of pin the blame on the Boers. It's all their fault. We tried so hard to negotiate with you. Look what you've done. OK, we're going to sort you out.
I fully agree. It's not a genocide. The British and the Boers saw this as a white man's war, and as Dennis says, let's get rid of this. So, yes, but the African communities, and that's not the Bushmen, the African communities saw this as an opportunity of regaining their possessions, their land that had been taken from them by the Boers and in Natal the British.
So we have to be clear that here there are different groups of black Africans involved in different ways. The Bushmen,
yes.
Collateral damage perhaps, and other groups of black Africans becoming more actively involved in the war.
Yes, yes. Black pawns in a white man's game. That's how black people were affected. And many black people supported the British because they thought a British victory would ensure that they get their land back, which wasn't the case after the war.
No. When the British carried out the scorched earth policy in the Orange Free State and the Transvaal, in many cases, once they'd driven the Boer families off the land and burnt their crops, in some areas there was an invitation to what you might call dispossessed black tribes to come back onto ancestral land. And as soon as the British wanted then to patch up a peace with the Boers and to create perhaps a very good and lasting peace with the Boers, the blacks were driven off the land again by the British. So they are utterly ruthlessly exploited during this war, and that's why the ANC is founded not long after the end of the war and why so many blacks were discontented.
We're hearing about so many things that seem so familiar from 20th century history. Guerrilla tactics, scorched earth, concentration camps, mission creep, really, aren't we? That the British come in with one agenda and find that they have much more on their hands than they thought. How significant do you think the experiences of the Boer War, militarily, politically, ethically, are in 20th century history?
Some people argue that it's the first of the modern wars, but overwhelmingly for the British, it is, as Kipling said in his famous poem, they had no end of a lesson. There were serious reforms that were carried out subsequently to the British Army, to its management. The Committee of Imperial Defence is set up in 1904. The staff colleges are extended. There is a real attempt to take on board the failings, the miserable failings, in fact, of British arms in the first few months of the war.
A huge legacy in Britain then. Franz Johann also in South Africa.
Yes, most definitely, yes. What did happen was that although the Afrikaner was defeated, they resented being part of the British Empire. And the Afrikaner then resolved after 1902 that never again would they be dominated by another group. And this, in a sense, contributed to not apartheid directly, but definitely towards the idea that we want to either dominate the country or make sure that we are not being dominated again.
Yes, I think that's absolutely true. I mean, I think his legacy is profound. Let me give you one quick story, Helen. I gave a talk in Ladysmith in 1999 for the centenary of the war. And at the end of it, a very tall Afrikaner doctor stood up and he started to ask me a question about the concentration camps. And it was so painful to him 100 years later that he actually broke down. And that sort of personal legacy, that sort of carrying on of resentment and pain, is one of the very significant parts of the Boer War's legacy.
Professors Franz Johann Pretorius and Dennis Judd.